There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
And folks, welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, raising five children out in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. So is Dave. He's in studio with me. And ladies and gentlemen, we are trying to do this in a day where the family is disintegrating right before our eyes. Yeah. A couple of guys in the 21st century, just a couple of dads, no experts here, no professionals, no psychiatrists, no lawyers, just a couple of dads in studio trying to figure out how to raise children during the demise of the family in the Western world. The family has fallen apart. Just last year, the nuclear family now makes up only 49% of households in America, the first time in world history, my friends. The nuclear family now makes up a minority of households in the United States of A. And a Rutgers University study that we've talked about before on this program has come up with American families weakest in the Western world. Yeah, they put it, the divorce rates, the single parent rates, the shack up rates, and all the others. And they have come out with a conclusion that the American family is the weakest in the Western world. Okay, so what am I going to do about this? You think I'm concerned about that? Yeah, I am. Now, you might come back to me and say, well, my family is doing great. You know, everybody else's family, yeah, the family's disintegrating. It's just not happening. Well, I'm going to challenge you on that. You think that you've got strong family relationships in the 21st century in a day where 37% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages ending in divorce. I'm telling you, folks, it's not as strong as you think it is. I mean, let's just take one example here. In the New Testament, okay, back when Paul and Peter and John were walking around, whole households would come to faith. They'd get saved together. That was normative. All right, the whole households, the kids would walk in the faith of their fathers. This thing would happen. But today, 80% of children raised in Christian families walk away from their family's faith. Why is that? Well, a huge contributor to this is the fact that the family of today, the nuclear family, is no longer nuclear. It's no longer connected. It's no longer, there's very little solidarity there anymore. And a lot of this is tied into the fact that the modern worldview is geared towards ripping your family to shreds. Yes, I'm telling you exactly what's happening. The institutions that you've grown up under are geared towards the fragmentation of the family. And it started with Karl Marx back in 1846 with his Communist Manifesto when he was committed to the abolishment of the bourgeoisie family. He said, abolish the family. And then he did it economically. He says this is horrendous that the bourgeoisie family has the right to engage in a household economic situation where there is loyalty between husband, wife, and children. He says that's awful. We've got to abolish the family. And the first way to do it, he said, is replace home education with social. Replace home education with social. Yes, he wanted to abolish home education and the discipleship of children under the guidance of their fathers and mothers. All right. Anyway, our economic systems today are set up such that family relationships will weaken in this country. Our economic systems, the way that you do business, the way that you handle your money, the way that schools are set up, the way universities run, the way corporations run, everything out there is designed to demolish and disintegrate your family. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a moment. I'm going to talk about the ways I want to put the family back together. I want to reconstruct the nuclear family in the Swanson household economically. Seven ways I want to do that next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Back on Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson here with you, talking about reconstructing the family, strengthening the bonds of the family economically. Because, guys, you got to deal with the fact the family is disintegrating. A minority of families today, or households today, are made up of the nuclear family. Yeah, the family is disintegrating big time in the 21st century. And if anybody cares about the family and wants to salvage the family in the 21st century, they're going to have to do something. And Dave, you know, as we go through these seven things that I'm doing, we're not imposing this on everybody. We're not saying everybody has to do exactly what I've done. I'm just telling you folks what I have done. And Dave, the message today is clear. I think we've got to do something. If you just continue to do what you've been doing, you're going to see 37% of your grandkids born without children, and you're going to see half of marriages, or 60% or 70% of your marriages ending in divorce, and you're going to see the breakdown of the family. It's happening right now, guys. Okay, if we're going to salvage the family, somebody's got to do something about it. I'm doing seven things. The first thing I'm doing is I'm going to pay for my children's food and my children's education. Now, okay, follow my logic here, my friends. If I'm going to weaken my family, one of the first things I'm going to do is go to my neighbor and ask them to pay for my children's food and education. Now, as my children grow up, they're going to get the message loud and clear, Dave. What is it?
They're beholden to their neighbor.
You got it. You got it. They're not my kids anymore. They belong to my neighbor because they're the ones that fed them and educated them. So the message is loud and clear to a lot of kids out there. Hey, mom and dad don't care enough to give me an education, so they're just turning me over to the state to do it for them. So the very first message that children get as early as kindergarten or preschool is, hey, the government is responsible for the food and the education, the paideia, the training, the raising of a child. Dave, of course, this is the worldview of Rousseau and Plato and Marx and all the other guys that built the modern world. But I see, again, folks, I'm trying to get my kids back. I'm trying to show my children that I love my children, and I'm trying to show them that we're a household and we're a nuclear household. We're gonna be a household, and one of the first things I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take care of my children and I'm gonna raise them myself. Second thing I'm gonna do is I want my economics to be free of debt. Now let's back up to when I was 23 years old back in 1987. God, by his providence, in 1987, laid it on my heart to give me a vision for a debt-free life. Now, it took me 6 years to accomplish it. And you know what? A lot of people discouraged me along the way. I didn't have anybody. God gave me the vision to be debt-free. I got it by his providence, and I worked hard to be debt-free over 6 years. And yet nobody encouraged me to be debt-free. I had a lot of discouragement. Hey, you're going to lose those leveraged profits on real estate. Hey, you're in an inflating market. Hey, you're going to miss out on the attachment A write-offs, and you're going to have to bite the bullet on capital gains taxes. Yeah, I had to go through all of that. I didn't have any encouragement from anybody whatsoever, but I struggled to be debt-free. And I struggled to be debt-free for a reason, because you know what? The debt-free lifestyle gives you a lot of flexibility. Because you don't have regular payments that would require a steady paycheck. And that flexibility enabled me to integrate my family back into my economic life. Okay, so my number two strategy for renewing the family economically was seeking a debt-free life back in my single years. We were actually debt-free, I think, within about 3 years of being married, I believe. I was 29 years old, so it took 6 years for me to achieve the debt-free lifestyle. My number three strategy, therefore, is to incorporate my family into my economic vision. And again, folks, corporations aren't really liking to hire families. You walk into a corporation, you say, you know what, here's my family, going to hire my family. My wife, she types 86 words a minute. My daughter, she answers phones. You should hear her answer the phone. She does incredible work. We're a team. We work together, so if you're going to hire me, you're going to hire my family. Corporations don't do that anymore. They don't hire families. You don't integrate your children into your work as they did all the way from the beginning of time, all the way up to Almanzo, working with his father and his father's farm back in the 1870s. Well, Joseph was feeding his father's sheep. David was feeding his father's sheep. Rebecca was out there feeding her father's sheep. Aquila and Priscilla, they were were tent makers together. So families have always been working together in a single economic vision. In fact, the word economics comes from the word oikonomia, okay? Economics, oikonomia. And the word oikonomia is from the Greek, and it effectively means the vision or the law of the household. So the basic economic unit was always the household, not the individual. I want my family to be part of my economic team. I want them to feel like they're part of a single household economic vision, and we're working together for a common economic cause. That's my number three strategy. I want my family incorporated into my family economic vision. And Dave, you know that my family does that as much as possible. My son edits these radio programs. My daughters are working with this project, that project. My daughter's probably going to be writing up some of our messages here and transcribing them so we can put them into written form. So we're together in this. We've seen ourselves for the last, I'd say, 7 years as an economic team working together each day on a project. And Dave, you know, the corporate life wants to see the family, the team, being the corporation. That is your team. So you're part of a corporate team, but the family is not the economic team. It's the corporation that's the economic team, and I want to transfer that into the family. And that leads me to my number four strategy, folks, to revive the family of the 21st century. Here's what I want to do. I want to raise my sons and daughters with the idea that they will never have their independent career track. That they're always going to be working as a team in a household. I'm not telling my daughters, hey, you're going to work for some corporation on your own independent career track someday, independent of your husband, so you need to get your own independent life together and live your own independent single life so that you can be single and independent in your mindset the rest of your life. Dave, I'm not sending my daughters out with that vision. In fact, I'm not going to kick my daughter out of the house when she's 21 years old. It's just not happening. Now, I know Christian counselors, I've heard them on the radio say tell people you've got to kick that daughter out of the house. You got to get her out of your life because if she's grown up, she's got to be independent. And that's a Marxist worldview. My friends, the Marxist worldview says the individual does not belong in a family economic vision. The individual lives his own individual life and is plugged into some mega corporation run by the state or operated or regulated by the state. And that's their worldview. But that's not my worldview. My worldview is that we retain an economic vision in the home, and I'm going to raise my daughters that way. If my daughter has some skill in biological sciences, for example, I'm not opposed to giving her higher education and some real training in the biological sciences. You know, if she's operating on her brother's appendix at 9, and I can tell she's got some skills in the medical field, I'm going to give her some medical training. It's going to happen. She's got gifts, talents, and abilities in that area. I'm going to make sure that I give her some medical training, some training in biological sciences. But I'm not going to give her that training so she can live her own independent career life and walk in her own independent career track all her days. That's the life of the vagabond. I don't want that for my daughter. I want her to feel like one day she's going to be part of a household. And if she's getting some of that training, she's getting that training for a purpose because one day she's going to fit into an oikonomia. A single economic vision for her household. Maybe her husband's going to be a missionary to Africa, and he's going to have a little medical clinic on the side, and he could use a help meet, a biblical help meet, somebody there to help him. A wife who has been trained in the medical sciences would be just the ticket for him out there in the medical field. But again, not for her own independent career track here, folks. For a unified economic vision. That's why I'm raising my daughter. And Dave, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with college and university training. I haven't really talked about that very much. But you know what? Your average university is not going to keep that vision in mind. The university doesn't care about that. For the most part, they care about independent career tracks and corporate lifestyles. That's it. They don't think in terms of help meet and home manager and meek and quiet spirit. Dave, these are the sorts of things. This is the vision that God has laid out in His Word for our daughters. But I'll tell you, I'd say for the most part, the average state university does not have a class, not even a single class, not even one class on help meet, home manager, and meek and quiet spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, the other worldview on this program today, but we're talking about rebuilding the family here. We're talking about building a strong structure for the family economically where my family's going to survive. life. And the only way to do it is to change what we've been doing for the last 150 years of world history, my friends. And my number five strategy for salvaging the family by building a strong family economic system, my friends, my number five strategy is I've opted out of Social Security by conscientious objection. Now, you can do that as a pastor for pastoral income. As it turns out, there's one tiny little exception out there for pastors. And Dave, about 5 or 6 years ago, I sat there wondering whether I ought to do that. I looked around my family. I had five children sitting around the dinner table. I looked up at them and I said, you know what? I've got five Social Security programs here. What in the world do I need the government to take care of me for? And Dave, again, it's front end, back end thing. If on the front end, I have already taken responsibility for the education of my children, on the back end, my children are going to take responsibility for taking care of my Social Security when I'm in my old age. My wife's in her old age, and she can't take care of herself. All right, my number six strategy for surviving, for the family's survival in the 21st century, guys, is to pass on inheritance for my children. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm saving an inheritance for my children. Now, I know this program is already weird for those of you who have had the wrong worldview, and you've picked it up over the last six or seven generations, but the average Christian family doesn't save an inheritance. Dave, did you know that? The average Christian family could only survive on 3.5 months of savings. That's all they've got. That's all they've got in the bank account. Well, last week, we sat around the living room, and I explained that I was saving an inheritance for my children. We were just sitting around there, my five children there, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15 years old. Okay, these are my five children. We're sitting around. We're having family worship time. And at the end of family worship time, I looked at my children, and I said, you know what? Mom and I are saving an inheritance for you kids. We're wanting to save an inheritance. And I told them we're going to pass on that inheritance, not when we pass on, when we die, but we're going to pass that inheritance on when you kids leave the house and get married. It's at that point we're going to start giving some of that inheritance. We're not going to give all of it away. We're going to give a good portion of it away when you guys get married. When you get married, I told them I want you all to be debt-free if possible. Now, it may not happen. But we're just setting some kind of vision out here that we would love to see our children debt-free. If we set the goal when you're 7, 9, 11, and 13, and 15 years old, then I think we might be able to accomplish it when you get married, which will be in, what, 7, 8, 10, 15 years. So I want you to be debt-free when you get married. Secondly, I want you to know that as we pass on these gifts, as we open up these accounts, because we've already started opening up accounts, savings accounts, we're passing the money already as gifts to our children, and putting them into accounts and saving them there until they get married. And as we do this, we want you to know, as we pass this money on, we're doing it right now, we're opening the accounts right now, we want you to know, children, that you are going to be responsible for taking care of mom and dad in our old age. We're not going to rely on the government. Government's not there for us. But you're going to be there. And they realize that dad's heart is with them. And he wants their heart with him. And then thirdly, I told him, you know what? I'm doing this because I don't want the inheritance tax to take away all of our inheritance. And so part of the reason for why we're doing this up front, I know that a lot of times folks don't want to give an inheritance up front. But one of the reasons we're doing this is because we just don't know what's going to happen to the inheritance tax. The current exemption is going to go away in just a couple of years here. And we want to take advantage of the annual gift tax exemptions for right now. And this is one way we can protect our inheritance and keep it from the government confiscating it. And Dave, of course, the government's going to confiscate it. Of course it is. Remember, it's taking care of education, Social Security, so why shouldn't it just confiscate the inheritance at the same time? You know, Dave, as we talk about inheritance, I think there are some folks that will come back and say, but we can't save an inheritance. We just can't do it. We're at 3.5 months, and that's all we have. You know, we've got $6,000 in the bank, and that's it. We're just barely surviving here. But you know what? I think a lot of the reasons why they're not saving inheritance is they're wasting their money on the wrong things. Dave, the average cost of weddings in 2006, $26,800. That's a total waste of money. $26,800. I think for the average family, that's a waste of money. Now, granted, there are perhaps some very wealthy families out there that can just totally absorb that, and that's fine. I'm not saying for everybody that's a waste of money, but for our family, that's way, way too much. The average student borrower that now graduates from college, they graduate $27,600 in debt, Dave. That's 3.5 times what it was 10 years ago. 3.5 times. They're wasting their precious money on worthless college educations and weddings and this sort of thing. Dave, I tell you what, there are things that are far more important than this, and I would say savings, inheritance, and debt-free living, very important to establish a good economic structure for the family in the 21st century. All right, folks, my final strategy is I'm not going to retire. I'm not going to retire. Yes, indeed. This is the way we're going to build an inheritance. I'm not going to retire. I have an extra probably 15, 20 years. The average man has an extra 15, 20 years of good work in him before he passes on. Now, granted, I might not be able to work for 40-hour weeks. I may have to taper that off to 30 and then 25 if I don't have the energy to do it. But I'm going to continue to do the work till my dying day. Why? Because God commands it. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Yeah, I'll take the Sabbath day all the way to the end of my life, but I'm also going to work all the way to the end of my life. And I'm training my children that the purpose of work is not leisure and retirement. I know 90% of the workers out there maintain that telos, that purpose in their work. They're working for the weekends. They're working so they can spend all that money they earned on leisure. And that's another reason why they're not saving inheritance, Dave, is because they're spending it all on leisure. We've got to teach our children to work and to love work. And we've got to save an inheritance for our children if we have a vision for the future. And we want our children to be in economic position to make an impact in the next generation or two. Folks, economics cannot survive where the preponderance of hearts are consumed with leisure and where men work for the primary purpose of enjoying leisure and retirement. Certainly, there will be no inheritance if that is the goal of work. And that's the way it is for a lot of folks out there, Dave. Folks, the reason why I want to salvage the family is because I love God. And God loves the family, and the family is God's idea, and the family is the only way that God's kingdom can move forward from generation to generation. And my friends, if the family doesn't survive, your civilization is not survive, and certainly the Church of Christ is not going to survive. We're going to do it for the kingdom of God. All right, folks, here's the deal. My seven strategies for strengthening the family economically. Number one, pay for my own children's food and education. Number two, live the debt-free lifestyle. Number three, incorporate my family into my economic vision. Number four, raise my sons and daughters with the idea that they will never have their independent career. They're going to work as a team in a household. Number five, opt out of Social Security, or at the very least, we're not going to count on it, and we'll just consider the money we give to Social Security just thrown away. Number six, we're going to save an inheritance for our children. And number seven, we're not going to retire. That's what I'm doing. And why am I doing it? My friends, every one of these strategies is strengthening the bonds of the family economically in all the places where the modern world has weakened the family economically. I'm standing against Marx, Rousseau, and Plato today on this program. I'm standing against the institution, the economic systems that have built our world and corrupted the family. We're making a difference on this program today, and I want to challenge fathers and mothers today. If you want to salvage the family, your family, in the 21st century, you better do something. You better develop economic strategies to rebuild the family in the 21st century. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Will you join us again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation?